Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos. We are going to be finishing off Daf Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, and Yezus Hashem, to make up for Tisha B'Av, we'll do Kuf Mem Hey as well. So this way, between yesterday's Daf and today's Daf, we will have caught up for the day that we're going to miss Thursday on Tisha B'Av. Yezus Hashem, Tisha B'Av this year will still be a Yantif, so maybe we'll have a chance to learn our Daf anyway on Thursday in Yerushalayim HaBenuya. The unlikely chance that that doesn't occur, so this will make lives a little bit easier for people. Everybody should have a safe week. And let us begin. We are on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, about 8-10 lines down. We just finished off yesterday explaining what the Gemara was talking about in terms of these pigin, prishin, and uzardin, these various types of fruits that are not normally squeezed, and therefore you're allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos. But we said the rimonim, those are fruits that some people, such as the house of Beis Menashe ben Menachem, they did squeeze during the week, so therefore you're not allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos. And that's what the Gemara picks up. Shel Beis Menashe bar Menachem hayu sochatim b'rimonim, since they would go and squeeze these pomegranates during the week for their juice, so therefore you're not allowed to go squeeze them on Shabbos. And Omer Rav Nachman comments and he says, Halacha kishol beis Menashe bar Menachem. We paskin, in fact, like this opinion of Menashe bar Menachem, that they would squeeze them during the week, and therefore you're not allowed to squeze them on Shabbos. Shmuel says, Omer Rav says to Rav Nachman, Menashe ben Menachem tanahu? Rashi explains this is a Lashon Bismia. Really, what are you talking about? V'chi ihu polig l'meimar de b'Shabbos osur, the tema hilchos agavase? Is anybody arguing over here with Menashe bar Menachem that he should be involved and quoted in saying the halacha is like him, that you're, in fact, not allowed to go and squeeze this on Shabbos? V'holo huskar, he wasn't even mentioned. He was mentioned as an aside. The Tana of the Braisa said that you're not allowed to go squeeze the rimonim on Shabbos. He held you can squeeze the plums, the quinces, the sorb apples, the pigin, the prishin, and the uzardin, but he says you can't squeeze the rimonim because people like Menashe bar Menachem squeeze them during the week, and therefore you can't squeeze them on Shabbos. So why are we mentioning here, Rav says to Rav Nachman, that the halacha is like Menashe bar Menachem? So Gemara says, okay, you want to tell me, v'chitema, halacha ki haitana, we pass it like this Tana, because he holds the Sovelach Shemanashe ba Menachem, that he holds like Menashe ba Menachem, that you squeeze them during the weekdays, and if we're not allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos, that's a normal way that people go and do this, and you're not allowed to do such schita, just like you can't do the grapes and the olives, you can't do the pomegranates. So you're telling me that we hold like this Tana, who holds like the practice of Menashe ben Menachem? So, Mishum Desavar, Ki Menashe ben Menachem, Halacha Kamoso? Just because he happens to hold like Menashe ben Menachem, that should make it that the Halacha is like him? What, Menashe ben Menachem, Hevi Ruba di Alma? Because one person, the family of Menashe ben Menachem, they go squeeze pomegranates on a weekday. So therefore, all of a sudden, the rest of Klai Yisrael is not allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos because you have one family that does this unusual thing, that they squeeze out pomegranates with pomegranate juice. So therefore, nobody can squeeze them on Shabbos. So we said, yeah, of course. There's none. Why would we say no? We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kilayim tells us, Hamakayim kotsim bakarim. If a person is allowing the thorns and the thistles, these kotsim, to stay in his kerem. There's a problem of Kilayim if you plant something in a kerem. So these thistles, these kotsim, according to the opinion of Rabbi, now we're going to see it should be Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara has over here just Reish Aleph, so we don't know whether it's Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Elazar. But in a moment, the Gemara is going to call this the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, but that's incorrect. The Gears on the side says it should be Rabbi Elazar. So over here we'll say also that this is Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, his opinion is Kidesh. In fact, you have made this kilayim. Kidesh is a lashon that we use when you turn something into kilayim. You've, so to say, sanctified it as kilayim. You've turned it into kilayim that now needs to be burned. And therefore, that is the opinion that these kotsim are considered kilayim with the kerem. The chacham disagree. The chacham omrim, eino makadish, no, it doesn't turn into kilayim. Elo dover shekamo makaymin, only something that is permanently kept by people. The people don't keep thistles, these kotsim, is not something that people really are interested in, and therefore it's not considered kilayim with the kerem. Now, but Omer Rabbi Chanina says, my taima, the Rabbi Eliezer, that's the girsa that we have, but it says on the side that this should be Rabbi Elazar. This is what I said before, this should really be Rabbi Elazar. My taima, what is the reasoning behind Rabbi Elazar telling us that it is kilayim? Why? Because he says some people do keep it. Where he says Shekain Baravia in Arabia, Makaimin Kotse Sodos Ligamalayan. They do keep these thorns and thistles, these kotsim. Why? Because their camels eat it. So this is fodder for their animals. So therefore they are interested in keeping it. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar says, since you're interested in keeping these kotsim, it is considered a vegetable and it is considered kilayim with your kerem, with your vineyard. And therefore, he holds that you are making them kilayim, and therefore you see that this is a das yochid, and yet we consider it so too. By Menashe ben Menachem, his das yochid about the pomegranate juice, we consider. Where it says, really, is that comparable? Me, the area? Da Arabia, Asra. Arabia is a huge country. Arabia is a huge place. And there are hundreds of thousands of people living in Arabia, however many people there were there. So therefore, if an entire state, an entire area, in fact, does this practice, so then we can say, okay, that's something we have to be concerned about. But in our case, is one guy, bat l'dayto, it's called Adam, because Menashe ben Menachem happens to do this, so the rest of the world is automatically pulled in by his opinion. You can't compare the two. So Gemara says, you're right. So why, in fact, did Rav Nachman say that the halacha is Elohainu Taima, as Rashi explains, when we're saying here the Rav Nachman, the Omer Halacha, that you're not allowed to go, ain't sochetin, you're not allowed to squeeze out the pomegranates on Shabbos, the reason wasn't because he followed Menashe ben Menachem like we thought, but Ella, Hainu time of the reasoning is, Kid Rav Chista, like Rav Chista, what did Rav Chista say? The Rav Chista, Turodin, if you have beets, Shesuchotin, that you squeeze them out, and then you take this beet juice, Unisonim b'mikvah, and you put it in the mikvah, now, this beet juice will go and post linus hamikvah bishinu mara. It will make this mikvah no longer considered a valid mikvah if it changes the color of the water. If it's shinu mara, the water changes color. So this beet juice, which by definition now is considered a liquid, because only a liquid that goes into the mikvah and changes its color is posling the mikvah. So therefore, he considers this beet juice, just like we consider the pomegranate juice to be a liquid, and therefore is considered significant. Where it says, but normally beets aren't something that you squeeze out for beet juice. Beet juice wasn't a common beverage. And yet you see that it does possible the mikvah. So what must you say? What must it be? Kivin dach shavinu habalu mashke. This guy that squeezed out this beet juice, he obviously did it. And therefore, he made it achshave. He turned it into an important idea. So too, hochanami. Here too, in our case, in Menashe ben Menachem's household, they gave it chashivos, kivin dach shavinu. They squeezed pomegranate juice during the weekday, so therefore, havalu mashke, it turns it into a mashke, and therefore, you're not allowed to squeeze it on Shabbos. If it has the status of being a mashke, and you remove it from the fruit, so then that's a problem of mefarik, and you're removing it from the fruit, and therefore, it's not allowed. That's what Rav Nachman was telling us. And therefore, we can see this proof in Rashi. He says, "Kirav Chista, Af al gav de la alma lo choshev." Even though most people don't squeeze pomegranate to get pomegranate juice, kivin de achshev iyu, since in Menashe ben Menachem's house they did this, you have a day mashka. They considered it a mashka. V'hochi meforsh. Now we can understand Rav Nachman when he says leel solchatin bepigoyin or befrishin. When you're allowed to go, he says, and squeeze the other types of fruits, the quinces, the sorb apples, and the plums. So there, people in that situation, they do it lamate capri. They do it to make the fruit sweeter. So they get rid of the juice, and the remaining fruit is sweeter. The little tzarcha mashke, nobody does it for the mashke. Avolobi rimonim, but not by pomegranates, because even afilu lamaskan, since some people, such as the shell based Menashe, hayu sochetin b'chol, since some people are achshavei and make it significant, so even on Shabbos, lamaskan, to sweeten the pomegranate, to get rid of the juice and sweeten the pomegranate, you're not allowed to do. That is what Rav Nachman is telling us, that we follow the idea of Menashe ben Menachem, that some people make it choshev, and therefore you're not allowed to even squeeze it. When you don't make it choshev, even though you're doing it lemesakein, to make it sweeter, lamatek, that is not allowed. That's what Rav Nachman is telling us. So the Chachamim are telling us here, since there are some people that would go and squeeze the pomegranates for their juice, so then we have to be concerned about that, and therefore we don't let anybody squeeze the pomegranates on Shabbos, even though their purpose is to be lamasek the fruit. That's the understanding. The Gemara says Rav Papa disagrees. Rav Papa tells us, no, when we brought down the statement that when you squeeze the beet juice, it goes and passes the mikvah, not because it's a liquid, mishum davidover she'enosim imenu mikvah l'chachila, because beet juice isn't something that you can use to make the waters of a mikvah reach the 40 saw. And therefore, the choldover she'enosim imenu mikvah l'chachila, it's not something that can be used to make the 40 saw of a mikvah, posel as a mikvah b'shinu mara. Has nothing to do with whether we consider it a beverage or not, whether we consider it a liquid. And in that situation, the reason why the beet juice ruins it is because the beet juice wouldn't be good to make the mikvah, and therefore it will ruin it b'shinu mara, even though it's not a liquid. So you can't bring me a raya, Papa says, from there to the idea of the pomegranate juice being a liquid or not. Now, we have Tanan Hossam. We learned in another Mishnah over there in Mikvos, where it says, Nofal Asocha Yayin, O Chometz, O Mochal. If you have falling into the mikvah, either wine or vinegar or Mochal. Mochal, we'll see, is a certain type of olive oil that's not yet fully olive oil, possibly. Vishina Marvin, if it changes the appearance of the mikvah, possible. The mikvah becomes no longer good. So the Gemara is assuming that these three are all called liquids. So it says, Mantana de Mochal Mashku. So the wine and the vinegar clearly are liquids. But who says that Mochal is a liquid? So Mantana de Mochal Mashku. So Amar Bai, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yaakovi. Now where do we see this? This is the Brisa. And we'll see this, the status of this Mochal, what exactly it is. Rashi explains, and see this on the first of the widest lines of Rashi, that says that there are three minim, Gimel minim Yeshbo, Kisha Toein, when you put the olives first into the press, they're just going there to get heated up, to further mature and cook, so may lay it on their own. So the liquid that comes out, mochel zov mehen, the liquid that comes out from them in this first liquid that comes out, is very clear, like water. That's liquid number one. Comes out from the olives. After they sit there for a while and they're pressing one against the other, additional liquid comes out from them. This is also known as mochal. All these are called mochal. The first one is a very pure, clear liquid. The second one is a little bit different. And this is already more like oil. And then, after you press them, after you put the press on them to get out the oil, after the whole processing will be pressing down, and it's going to really get out all the oil, so this oil is oil, but it's also called bochal. So you have three levels. The first initial clear liquid that comes out, then you have a somewhat oilier substance that comes out before it's really crushed, and then you have the oil that comes out after it's crushed. So, Abaye tells us, Rav Yaakov, that this is going according to the opinion of Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov Omer, Mochal, Harehu Kamashki, says all of the different statuses of Mochal here are considered like a liquid, and therefore the Makabal Tumah, and Kimakshah something like Makabal Tumah. This is one of the seven liquids, olive oil. Umatam Omru, Mochal Yosef B'Tchila Torah. But the rabbi said that the first pressing that comes out, even before it's pressed, the first category here of olive oil, this very clear, liquidy, watery-like substance that comes out, is not makabel tumah. Why not? L'fisheino rotsa b'kiyumo. Not because it's not a liquid, but because you have no interest in keeping it. That type of stuff doesn't do you any good, and therefore, that's why it's not makabel tumah. And therefore, it's not considered something that the owner wants. He doesn't care about this. He's going to discard this. And therefore, it is not chiyutan. You have to want it to come out, and therefore, he doesn't care about this, and that's why it's not considered capable of being makabel tumah. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Meir, mochal ino mashka. He says, it's not a mashka at all. Why is the second group able to be makabel tumah? So if it's not a mashka, so the first one, we understand why it's not tumah. But why is the second one capable of being makabel tumah if it's not a mashka? So he says, lefisha, yev shalom below tzuchi shem, because the second group doesn't, can't possibly exist without having some real oil inside of it, and it's that real oil inside of it that's makabel tumah. So what do we see over here? That each of them say that the first group is not makabel tumah, and the second group is makabel tumah. So my binayu, what's the nafkamino? Is there a practical difference between these two shitas? They both seem to say the same thing. Shmuel says, ika binayu da'ase basar itzatzta, that the difference between them is, do we consider that without any tzichtzuche oil, when it doesn't have any real oil in it, any tzichtzuche shemen in it, so what would be its status? According to Rabbi Shimon, he says, it's not a liquid, and therefore, if there's no oil inside of it, so then it's not makabel tumah. But according to the opinion of Rav Yaakov, it is something that you want to come out, and therefore, it does have the status of being a liquid, and therefore, it is makabel tumah. Rabbi says, not a machlokas, Rav Shimon and Rav Yaakov. He says, no, they actually both hold Mishum the heavy dovah shein osim heimen a mikvah. He says, no, the reason is because you can't make a mikvah out of it. And therefore, if something can't be used to make a mikvah, uposalas a mikvah shinimar. Nevertheless, it is going to be invalidating the mikvah with Sheena and Mara, by changing its appearance. So it has nothing to do whether you call it a liquid or not, and therefore this goes according to both Rav Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon. They would both say that it would be post-sol the mikvah, Sheena and Mara, but nothing to do with whether it's a liquid or not. In any event, the Gemara continues, says, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Sochet Odom Eshkol Shal Anovim L'Sochek Deira. Now we introduce a new subject where we're going to talk about when you squeeze something out, you're squeezing a liquid out, but if you squeeze the liquid out onto a solid, and it came from a solid, so then it's not considered squeezing l'halacha. This is a very, very important halacha l'maisa in Hilchus Shabbos. So, sochet odom eshko shalavodim, you are in fact allowed, review this as name of Shmuel, that you are in fact allowed to go and squeeze out grapes into a kdeira. According to many, and this is the way it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Mishnah Berurah, this means you're squeezing it into a kdeira filled with food. There is an opinion that says, as long as you're squeezing it into a kedera, into a pot, so then it's good even if there's no food in there. But in the Mishnah Berurah Paskins in Shulchan Aruch that we're talking here about, that you have to squeeze it onto food. So if you squeeze grapes onto a solid food, so then that is allowed on Shabbos. That's not considered squeezing because it's going from the solid grape into the solid food, and it's not considered, therefore, that you're squeezing. It's removing ochel from ochel, and that's allowed. It's not removing liquid from ochel. However, but you can't put it onto a plate. The plate doesn't have any food in it, and therefore you're not allowed to squeeze it into this empty plate. Ruchista says, from these words of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, we can learn out that a person would be allowed to cholev odom eiz l'soch hakdera. You could go and milk your goat. They used to have a lot of goats that they used to milk. We would say cows, probably more likely. But in any event, you could milk your goat or your cow into a kedera, i.e. something that has food inside of it. Directly you can milk onto the food. I have a little tocha car, but you couldn't go and milk the goat into a plate or a bowl of some sort that had no food inside of it. That is the same rationale as squeezing the grapes onto the food directly. Where it says, Alma, what do you see? Kesavar, mashka, boli, ochel, ochlo. You see that according to Shmuel's understanding, Amir Yehuda, Amir Shmuel, when you squeeze the grape, and as we said, even when you squeeze the milk out of the goat, onto food, it's called ochel onto ochel. This mashka is considered an ochel, a solid in this regard, because it came from a solid, and therefore it's going onto a solid. We don't consider a liquid in between. Masiv Rabbi Yochama, Rabbi Yochama asks him this. He says, wait a second. Zav, if you have a person who's Tomei, a Zav, Shechol Lev Esa Eiz, and he milks a goat, Hechol of Tomei, the milk that comes out is Tomei. Now, how did it get Tomei? If we consider this milk to be a solid, so then it needs to become Mukshul Kabul Tumah. But if you're milking it from the goat directly onto a food item, so then it shouldn't become Tomei. Yet, this Mishnah, which Rami Bachamer brings down from Taharos, tells us that if the Zav is milking the Eiz, so all he's doing here is causing the solid to go from the solid, the Cholov is Tomei. It doesn't make a difference whether he's milking it into a solid food or he's milking it into a pot. It just says, period, it's Tomei. So this should include the case of milking it onto a solid. V'yamris mashka boli ochlin ochlu, but as we just said from Shmuel, if you say that it came from a goat and goes directly onto food, it's never in the liquid state, so then how did this solid milk become mukshel kabel tumah? B'mayis kasher, the zav touched it, but it wasn't mukshel kabel tumah. The zav supported it, so it shouldn't be able to become kabel tumah unless it was mukshel kabel tumah. Where did this milk actually come in contact with a quote liquid? We're considering it a solid. So Gemara says, no, that's an easy answer. Kedem Rav Yochanan, and that we already explained. Rav Yochanan said in regards to something else, betipa hamulchulekas apiyadat. In regard to a woman elsewhere, he says that her milk became tame because there was a little bit of milk that was on her nipple, and that milk that was out there on the nipple came into contact with all the subsequent milk that came out, and therefore it made it all mokshel kabel tumah. So to avi hochanami, the goat has on its teat, it has in its udder a little bit of milk already there. Betipa hamulchlechas apiyadat, and that is going to come into contact with all the subsequent milk that comes out. Even though the subsequent milk that comes out we consider a solid, nevertheless, tipa hamulchlechas apiyadat is going to make all the other milk mokshel kabel tumah, and therefore this is not a problem for this brisa to say how did it become mokshel kabel tumah. Even it went as being a solid onto a solid, and we halachically consider it a solid, it became mokshel kabel tumah for the little bit of milk that was already on the teat. Moser Ravina asks further, though. He says, Tomei meis sheshochad zeisim yanovim. If you have a person who's Tomei meis, and he has to actually go and touch something for it to come into status of tumah, not by moving it. So Tomei meis sheshochad zeisim yanovim. If he squeezed out your olives or your grapes, and there was exactly kebetza mechuvenes, and it was exactly originally in the olives and grapes, exactly a kebetza's worth. So now when you squeeze it out, you're making it less than a kebetza. So this Braisa states that your tahar, this juice, this olive oil or grape juice that comes out, is going to be tahar. It's not going to become tummy. However, hayoseh mikabetza, if you started off with more than a kabetza's worth, so then it will become tummy. The grape juice or the olive oil that comes out will become tummy because it has the shear of a kabetza. The shear of a kabetza is the amount that you need to have tumovi in this situation. Now, the amis, if you're telling me mashke haboli ochel ochelu, if you're telling me this is all considered a solid, again, we have the same questions before, but my is kasher, how did this solid grape juice or olive oil that you're squeezing out onto a solid food, we're saying it comes from a solid, it goes onto a solid, it's not considered a liquid, so how did it become mukshel kabutuma in this situation? But my is kasher, again, the same question. So who most of Lovu Mavarik, Lovarina was the one that asked the question, but he also gave the answer. Besochet l'socha kara. Ah, obviously, we're not talking there that he went and squeezed the olive and oil went out onto food, or he squeezed the grape and the grape juice went out onto food. No, he squeezed it directly into a bowl. And in this situation, it can become tummy. And Omar Rav Yirmiyah answers, he says, this is actually a machlokis tanoi and kitanoi. What is that? Hamachluk bianovin. If you're going to take grapes, and machlik, Rashi explains, machlik means a nachtom, Rashi says, a baker that takes this grape juice and he smears it on his breads. Sochet hamashka alakikor, he squeezes out the grapes and the juice goes right onto the bread. That's called hamachlik ben oven. And these grapes, lo huchshar, we don't consider them to be mushal kabotum because they didn't come into contact with a beverage, with a liquid, because the grape juice that was squeezed out onto the bread is considered going from a solid, the grape, onto a solid, the bread. Therefore, it's not Moshe L'Kabotumah. Review the disagrees. Review the Omer. Hoksha, the grapes do become Moshe L'Kabotumah. So the Gemara says, my love, b'hol kamivli, isn't this exactly the machokis? Mar sovar mashka boli ochel ochelo. The Tanakama who says that it's not Moshe L'Kabotumah, he's the one who holds like Shmuel. He's the one that says that if it comes from a solid, it's ochel. It goes onto a solid, it's still considered ochel, even though biologically we would say it's a liquid, and therefore it's not Moshe L'Kabotumah. That's the Tanakama's opinion. Mar sovar, the opinion of Rav Yehuda is lav ochelu. It's considered a liquid, and therefore it's makshir the grape, the mikabel tuma. So Shmuel's idea goes like the Tanakama and is in machlokas with Rav Yehuda. Or it says not necessarily so. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa says no. The kuliyama mashka boli ochel lav ochelu. In fact, both the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda do not hold like Shmuel. They say that this mashka is not considered an ochel going on to an ochel. It's a liquid. What are they arguing about then? They're arguing about if you have a mashke that you're intending to throw away. What do you mean you're intending to throw it away? When you're pouring this grape juice on the bread, it's going to get evaporated, Rashi says, in the oven. So therefore, it's as if it's li'ibud. So, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says it's still a mashke. Even though it's going to be thrown away, right now it's a mashke, and therefore it's a mashke of the grape, l'kabel tumah. But the Tanakhama says, "Umasav elav mashku." If it's not intended to be used, you're putting it on this bread for some sort of a shine that it's going to provide, but it's going to get absorbed, evaporated in the air of the oven. So therefore, it's not considered something that you want, and therefore, it's not considered a liquid because it needs to be v'chiyutan. You want to keep it to preserve it. And this machlokas of our Tanakam and Yehuda is exactly the same machlokas that we had in another brisa, the Tanya. Rashi explains that this is you break or squeeze these zeisim, kidesh you rachin, you pound them in some way that they should become soft. So the Tanakam says, Hushar, the oil that comes out is a machshir, this olive, and it now is considered Mukhshar l'kabel tumah, and since his hands were yodai musuavos, it becomes tame. So your tame hands came into contact with this liquid olive oil, and it's matame, the olives, in return. Mukhshar l'kabel tumah. Why would you do this again? Rashi said, to make them soft, to make them sweet, he says elsewhere. However, if you did this, l'sov som b'melach, if you did this because you wanted to dip these olives into salt, and without having a little bit of crushing on them, without bruising them a little bit, they're not going to pick up the salt well. So then, you're not interested in this liquid, you're just interested purely in the olive being able to collect the salt. And therefore, lo hokshar, it's not makabel tumah. Leida imigius esav limsokim lav. If your intention was to see, are these sweet enough? Are they not sweet enough yet? Are they ready to be eaten or not? So then lo hochshav, because you're not interested in the liquid at all. So that's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rudo mer hochshav. In this situation, when you're doing it to see if they're mature enough, so then you are interested in this liquid that comes out, and therefore it is mukshal kabel tumah. So my lab hakamivli. What are they arguing about? The ma'asav of mashka omid leibud mashka. Rav Yehuda holds that even though your intention over here is that this olive oil should go to waste, but you're interested in it, and therefore it's machshut lekabel tumah. Versus the Tanakhama, ma'asav alav mashka. The Tanakhama says you're not interested in this, and therefore it's not mukshal lekabel tumah. So therefore, this machlokes that we brought down for the Tanakhama Rav Yehuda is the same machlokes over here in this brisa, the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda, which is the same machlokes. Shmuel holds like the opinion that says that it is not mukshal lekabel tumah. Where it says, Amrav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, I do not think that Rav Papa's analogy to say that the original machlokes is like this machlokes tanoim is correct. He says, Hani tanoim, these tanoi over here that argue about whether it's, you know, you have to break the olives, you bruise the olives in order to see whether it's ripened or not. So they're talking about Hani tanoi, but mashka omi libra pli. I agree. They're arguing about whether, since you have no intention of keeping this oil, you just want to see the stage of the ripeness. So yeah, that's a machlokes. Is it makabel tumah if it's omi libra? However, the original tanoim, which was when you squeezed out some of the olive oil onto the bread, so that has nothing to do with mashka, homed leibud pligi, like you're saying, Rapapa. Hanach tanoi, that machlokas tanoi between the Tanakhama and Yehuda, as to whether the oil that comes out is not a question of whether it's leibud or not. They're arguing over here that this isn't li'ibud. They're arguing about if it's just going to give it a shine. So litzachzicho, we said previously, litzachzicho means like to polish it, to shine it, to give it a glow. So then that's what they're arguing about. Nothing to do, however, li'ibud. And you have the opinion of the Tanakhama that it's not hochshar, the even though you want the shine there, but that's not called mukshal kabel tumah. And you have the opinion of Yehuda that it says it is mukshal kabel tumah. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chiya, Barash, Amar Rav, Sochet Odom Eshkol Shalonov Nesol Chakdeira. Similar to what Shmuel said, it said over the name of Rav that you're allowed to go and squeeze the eshkol of anovim, a cluster of grapes, onto a kedera. So before we had that we're dealing with olives, here we're dealing with grapes. It's the same thing, and you can squeeze it directly into the kedera filled with food, according to the end, the way the Mishnah Berurah understands this. Others would say just into a plain pot. However, avolo lusol hakaara, but you're not allowed to squeeze it onto a plain plate that doesn't have food into it, that's not normally used in this fashion. Likewise, now he adds something. Rav adds, according to this understanding, that this is Rav's opinion, v'dog litziro, a fish that has the fish brine in it, afilu luso ha-ka'ara. You could squeeze out this fish directly, not onto food even, but even into a ka'ara, and that would be allowed. That's not considered squeezing. That's what Rav says. That's the way Rav Zeira, Amar Rechia, Barashi said it was the name of Rav. Yosef Rav Dimi, Dimi was sitting and learning the Karmel Olishmais, and he said over this memra, and Amalei Abaye, Rav Dimi. Abaye said to Rav Dimi, you who learned that this was made over the name of Rav, you got no problems. Atun Bishmei de Rav Masnisun, you learned this in the name of Rav, below Kashluchu, and therefore you have no problem, because it doesn't stare and go against an opinion that we know of Rav. However, Anan Mishmei de Shmuel Masninun Law, we learned this in the name of Shmuel, the Kashluchu, we have a problem. What is the problem? Miyama Shmuel, dog Lutiro, Afilu Sochakara. Does Shmuel really say, if this is according to Shmuel, so then this says that Shmuel says you can squeeze a fish even onto a kara, but that's not true. For Igmar, because we learned elsewhere in regards to vegetables. Kivoshim, Rashi explains that kivoshim are vegetables that are pickled. You put them in some sort of a yerek chai, kovush b'yayin v'chomitz, you take a raw vegetable and you put it into wine or vinegar, that's called kvashim, and if you squeeze these vegetables out, so Amar Rav, Rav says, legufon, for the usage for themselves, to eat these vegetables, then it's permitted to go squeeze them out. To make them tastier, you can squeeze out these juices. Mutter. Limeneyem, but if you're doing it to squeeze out this liquid that comes out of the vegetable, that you're not allowed to do, albeit midaraisa, you would be allowed to, but midarabanan, it's part of a law. So the rabbi said, you can't do this, it looks too much like squeezing. Therefore, you can't do it. shlakos. If you're dealing here with vegetables that were stewed, they were cooked, Rashi says, afilu lememehen, lav mashkininu elocha. He says, in this situation, Rav would hold, bein legufa and bein lememehen mutter. Their juice is not considered something that you're squeezing out. It's considered ocha, and therefore, there is no problem according to Rav. But here's where the problem comes up. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says, Echot kivoshim v'echot shlokus. He says in both cases, whether they're pickled or whether they're stewed, he says if you're using it for the improvement of the vegetable itself, legufa mutter, then you're getting rid of the waste water over here, that's allowed then to go and squeeze it out so you have the taste of your vegetable left behind, whether it was pickled or stewed. L'meimeya, but if you're doing it for this juice that comes out, in both situations, it's part of a law, so you're not allowed to do this. So basically, Shmuel is saying here that you're not allowed to squeeze something out for its juice. So how could you squeeze out the fish for its brine, for its juice? That's the kasha of Shmuel. Rav has no problem. Rav says you're allowed to. So therefore, Rav is consistent. So if you say that this is Rav who said about the fish, so then it's no problem. But if you say it's Shmuel, then you got a steer in Shmuel. That's what Abaye asks of Dimi. So Rav Dimi answers, Omalei. Rav Dimi says, no, Elokim. He's making a lashon of a shvua. He quotes a pasuk from Eov. Einai ro'u v'lo zar. I myself saw this with my own eyes, not somebody else that saw this. And we don't read the rest of the pasuk, we have some parentheses. He says, Mipume de Rabbi Yirmiyah Shmili. I myself heard this statement directly from Rabbi Yirmiyah, who he himself, Rabbi Yirmiyah, he heard it from Rabbi Zeira. He himself heard Rabbi Zeira say this. And Rabbi Zeira, Mirab Chia Barashi, he said this, and Rabbi Chia Barashi said this, Meirav. So you're incorrect to say that this statement came from Shmuel. I know the line of authorization over here, this was really said over the name of Rav, and not the name of Shmuel, and therefore there's no stira to Shmuel, and it's perfectly in accord with what Rav said. Now we'll go back and dissect this a little bit more. Gufa. Kvoshin shesuchoton. If you have vegetables that are kvoshin, they're pickled vegetables, and you want to go and squeeze them out. So we have three opinions that are brought down here. Until now we only had Rav and Shmuel. Here we have a third opinion. So you have these vegetables that were pickled. Rav says, Amar legufan, if you're doing it for the food itself, mutter, lechatchila hetugomer. If you're doing it for their juices, lemeimeyen, so then it's not an issa deraisa, but it's an issa derabanan, part of a lawsuit, like Rav said before. But the shlokos, the stewed vegetables, bein legufan, bein lemeimeyen, whatever your reasoning is, it's mutter, it's considered an ochel, and therefore there's no problem whatsoever. Rav Lushitoso, exactly what we had before. This is Gufa, we're just repeating it. Shmuel Amar, Echazeh Echazeh. Shmuel says, no, the pickled vegetables and the stewed vegetables are exactly the same. If you're doing it for the improvement of the vegetable, the Gufa and Mutter. However, Lememeh, and if you're doing it for the liquid, it's an Issa Derabbanan, part of Rav Asa. So that's the machlokas we had already between Rav and Shmuel. Here we introduce a third opinion. Rav Yochanan Amar says, no. Echot kvoshim v'echot shlokos. He doesn't make any distinction like Shmuel did. He didn't make a distinction between the pickled and the stewed vegetables. If you're doing legufa and he holds like Shmuel, then it's permissible. However, if you're doing it lememeyan, he holds like Shmuel that it's also. But here he says lememeyan chayv chatas is an issa d'oraisa. It's not an issa d'rabbanan, it's an issa d'oraisa. So these are the three opinions that we have in this discussion, in this machlokas. Morris questions all three of them. Neisvei, Gemara says, we have a brisa that says, Sochatin kivoshim b'shabbos l'tzorach ha-shabbos. On Shabbos, you're allowed to squeeze out these pickled vegetables if you're going to eat them on Shabbos. But now I pickle them, squeeze them, these pickled vegetables, avololo motzi Shabbos, but not if you're going to eat them after Shabbos. That's these pickled vegetables. Zeisim v'anovim, olives and grapes, lo yisro, you're not allowed to squeeze at all. V'imsocha chayiv chatas, if you squeeze them, that's a real chayiv chatas on Shabbos. Now, this brice is actually quite makel. The first part says, Sochatim kvoshim b'shabbos l'tzorach ha-shabbos. As long as it's for Shabbos usage, you're allowed to squeeze it. But it doesn't make any distinction between whether you're doing it for gufan or meimehen. So it implies that you are allowed to squeeze it, even l'meimehen. And Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan all said you can't do this. So it's kashal Rav, kashal Shmuel, kashal Rav Yochanan. So each is going to answer it up for themselves. Rabbi Tarzatameh, Shmuel Tarzatameh, Rabbi Yochanan Tarzatameh. Each of them is going to understand this price in a different way. Let's go through it. Rabbi Tarzatameh, Rabbi is going to understand the price in the following manner. When it says Sochatin Kavoshin, you're allowed to go squeeze these pickled vegetables, but Shabbos, and Tzorach Shabbos, and Volomotzi Shabbos, you're allowed to do it for Shabbos. What type of usage on Shabbos can you do? But man, on what usage on Shabbos? Legufon. Rav says that it's talking this price of just Legufon. But for its water, for this squeezed out liquid, that's not allowed. Potro losser. Ushlakos. And if you're dealing over here with the stewed vegetables, then bein legufa mein lememeyan mutter. That's allowed. Lechatchila. But, exactly consistent with Rav Shita. That's how Rav learns this brisa. Shmuel does the same thing. Shmuel matoritz atayme. Shmuel learns it out the way he holds. He says the brayse says sochtin kavoshim b'shabbos tzorach Shabbos. You have to go squeeze them out on Shabbos for tzorach Shabbos. That's only who adin l'shlakos. That's either for the pickled or the stewed ones. By medvar memurin ligufan, only when you're using to improve the vegetable. Avul memeyan, but for their liquids potter alos. You're not allowed to do this. It's an issur d'rabbanan. And the zeis and the anavim lo yischo. That's an issur d'raisa if you go and squeeze them. Oh, Shmuel lit Taimei perfectly. And Rav Yochanan, same thing. Rav Yochanan mitaritz lit Taimei. He's going to learn the Braisa in accord with his Shita. When he says the Braisa says you're allowed to go and squeeze the pickled vegetables for Shabbos usage, but not for Motzi Shabbos, it doesn't mean for any Shabbos usage. It's Echod Kvashav Echod Shlokus. He says this is true whether they're pickled or stewed vegetables. When you want the vegetable, so you get rid of the water, the liquid, that's not a problem. On Shabbos, for Shabbos usage. And if you're doing it for the liquids, not only is that not allowed the chatchila, that's an isser. And not only is it not an isser derabanan, that's an isser deraisa. Lo yisro, you're not allowed to do that. Vim sochad, he says, nase, kemisha sochad zesim yanovim, v'chayiv katas. That's no different than if you're squeezing out olives or grapes, and that's a isser deraisa. So each of these three, Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan, understands the brayse is talking about b'medzvah memurim, different circumstances. Another statement in the name of Rav, Dvar Torah. He holds it's a Torah law. Rav's opinion is the only time you're over for schita is only with grapes and olives. Olives and grapes. That's the only time you're going to be chayiv for squeezing on Shabbos. The rest may be motir l'chatrila, or it may only be an issur d'rabbanan because it looks too much like squeezing olives and grapes. And v'chein toni dvei menasha. And likewise, this was said over in the dvei menasha. According to the Gemara, this is going to be Menashe ben Menachem. This is his base medrash. So in his base medrash, they learn the same way. You only chayv in the Torah for schita, for squeezing, for olives and grapes. Now, what's the next piece brought in? It's going to be because it's really set over by the Dei Menashe. And that's why this is the connection to our Gemara. The Ein Eid Mipi Eid Kosher. The Braisa continues and says that they hold, the Dei Menashe, they hold that a witness cannot testify something that's hearsay evidence. What we call hearsay evidence is when he heard another witness. Reuven is testifying that he heard Shimon say about Levi and Yehuda. So you're not allowed to testify like that, with one exception. You can't give hearsay evidence, which you don't know yourself, but you testify, I heard Shimon say this, so you can't, that's not good testimony, with one exception. Ain't ABPA kosher. A Reuven saying, I heard Shimon say this, is no good, Ella le'edus isha buvad, except for making a woman not naguna. Rashi explains, Loma le'isha meiz balech, for a witness to come to say that a woman's husband passed away, so he can say, I don't know this myself, but I heard Shimon say, Shimon's not here, or else he would say it himself, Shimon died, Shimon went away, I heard Shimon say that this woman's husband passed away, and we accept that. Rashi says, the ikula barabanim, the rabbis were very makel in this situation, mishum iguna, in order the woman shouldn't be changed, she shouldn't be in aguna. And therefore, for various reasons, which the Gemara in Yevamos discusses, we accept this. Mostly because of the principle of Daiko Minsava. She's going to go and investigate it. She's not going to accept this. And therefore, if she does accept it, it's because she checked it out. And that's why we're allowed to accept a single witness in this situation. So it says only, Eid Mipi Eid is only Le'edus Isha Bovad. But then the Gemara says, Ibarlu, they said, wait a second. Eid Mipi Eid Le'edus Bechor Mahu. They asked, what about testifying that an animal had a mum before it was given to the Kohen? Because once it's in the Kohen's hand, so we're choshed that the Kohen's going to make it have a mum so we can go eat it for barbecue rather than have to bring it as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Especially, there's no Beis HaMikdash Nebuch. We're in the week of the Shur Shechabo, so we mourn the Beis HaMikdash. It's appropriate to say this halacha. So a Bechor, if it's Tumim, it's supposed to be brought as a carbon. Nebuch, we can't bring it today, so we have to either not make it a Bechor by having a Shutvis with a guy, or if it's born as a Bechor of a Yid, so the animal can't be brought until it gets a Mum. And it can't be brought as a carbon because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so you have to wait until it gets a Mum. So we're choshed that the Kohen is going to make a Mum and it say, ah, oh, it has a Mum. So you need to have testimony that says that it had a Mum before it went in the Kohen's possession, or that it got a Mum naturally while it was in the Kohen's possession. And here it says, what about Reuven testifying that Shimon said that the wound was created while it was naturally created, not by the Kohen, or that it already had the womb before it came into the Kohen's possession. Is that acceptable? Eid mipiyed le'edus b'chor mahu. So Ravami says, Osir. Ravami says, no, it's not good. And Ravashi, Shari, Ravashi says it's good. But we ask Ravasi, Omar le'i, Ravami le'i, Ravasi, you who say that it's good, that goes against what we just said. They learned the base medrash of Menasha, which is Menasha, that's why the connection to our Gemara, and aid me pi aid, kosher, elali edus ishu bavat. It's only good for a woman to make her not an aguna. So how come you're going against this Braisa Ravasi? You are a great, great Talmud Chacham, but you're an Amori, you don't normally go against the Braisa. So Gemara says, no. Ema, the Braisa, you misunderstood. The Braisa says, la edus sha isha kishera la bavat. This is talking about any testimony that a woman is allowed to give. That includes a bechor. So it's not just to make a woman not naguna, but anytime a woman's testimony is accepted, such as in this situation with bechor, so a woman can give the testimony, so therefore aid mipi aid is also accepted in this situation. Mark continues and says, Rav Yemer, achsher aid mipi aid lebechor. Rav Yemer, in fact, paskin this and said that aid mipi aid is good. If Reuven says that Shimon told him that this bechor had a mum before it came into the Kohen's possession, so then it's accepted. So Mereimar, when he heard this, Koriele Mereimar, Mereimar said about Rav Yemar, don't get the names mixed up, Mereimar said about Rav Yemar, Yemar Shari Bukhra. He said to him, oh, Yemar, he's the one that's Mekel, he's Matir a Bukhar, when it shouldn't be Matir, because he, obviously, Mereimar didn't hold that Eid Mipi Eid is good by Bukhar, by the testimony by a Bukhar. How do we paskin? We actually paskin like Rav Yemar. So we paskin Lekula. Eid Mipi Eid is kosher Lebukhar, it is good. Finally, that was a huge discussion. We go back and finish the discussion from the Mishnah, which said, Chalos Devash. We said if they were resika, and if they were crushed, chopped up before Shabbos, and additional honey comes out on Shabbos, so then it was a machlokas whether you can use it or not. The Tanakhama said you can't, and Rabbi Elazar said that you could. He also, Rabbi Oshaya, I mean, Nardor, when Rabbi Oshaya came from Nardor, he said the following. Also, the Isi Masnisa Biyodi, he came and brought the following brisa with him. He said as follows. Zeisim v'yanovim, olives and grapes, shiriskum erev Shabbos, that you chopped up on erev Shabbos, v'yotsu v'atzmon, and further olive oil or grape juice comes out on Shabbos, asur, it's still asur. And he says, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon matirin, and Rabbi Elazar and also Rabbi Shimon say, no, since it was chopped up before Shabbos, anything that comes out on Shabbos is allowed. So this is what Roshaya came, this brisa. So Amar Yosef, Yosef says, is that really such a chiddush? Gavra Yaseira Osel Hashmina. We know this. Our Mishnah said the same thing with the Chalos Devash. So all he's adding is, from our Mishnah, we said, the Tanakhama says you can't use the honey that comes out. It was crushed before Shabbos. You can't use the additional honey that comes out on Shabbos. And Rabbi Loza says you can. And whoa, big deal. Rabbi Shai is coming and tell us that it's not only Rabbi Loza, it's also a Gavra Yaseira, also Rabbi Shimon. So is that the chiddush? The big chiddush of Rabbi Shai. He's telling us that not only Rabbi Elazar, but also Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, both of them say that you're allowed to use it. Is that such a big chiddush? So Amar Abaye says, "Nu tuva kamashal." No, he is telling us a big chiddush. Rabbi Shai is telling us a very big chiddush, because if we only had the honeycombs of our Mishnah, dimi mas nisan, you know what I would have said? Havamina hasum hu. Only in our Mishnah with the honeycombs, dimi yekaru uchla. The honeycomb is originally called ochel. And afterwards, the honey is a solid; it's not considered a liquid, and therefore that's why it's permissible. Avohacha, with the olives and the grapes, it originally is a solid, the miyakara uchla, ul besof mashka, but now the olive oil or the grape juice is considered a mashka. So maybe I would have said the Rabbi Elazar holds, no, you can't use it, aim low. So big chiddush, Rabbi Oshai is coming to teach you a big chiddush, not just that Rabbi Shimon also holds like this, but that even Rabbi Elazar, who holds this way in regards to the honeycomb, also holds this way even in regards to the olives and the grape juice. And so does Rav Shimon. Kamashul, and that's the big chiddush of Rav Oshaya. Let's go to the next Mishnah. Kol shebo b'chamim mi'erev Shabbos, if something was put into hot water, Rashi explains that it was klomar nishna special. It was cooked, so it's something that's already cooked. So if something was cooked before Shabbos, kol shebo b'chamim mi'erev Shabbos, so shorin osa b'chamim mi'erev Shabbos, you're allowed to go and soak it in hot water, even on Shabbos. Rashi says, k'dei she'ni moch, so it should disintegrate more, so it becomes softer and less solid. That's allowed. The kol shebo b'chamim mi'erev Shabbos, but if it wasn't cooked in erev Shabbos, then all you're allowed to do on Shabbos is medichin oso b'chamim b'Shabbos. You can rinse it with some hot water. Rashi says in this situation, they would eat it raw. Kigon basa yavesh, dried meat, shochlin oso chai, they would eat it raw. Aydetchak, under extenuating circumstances, they really had nothing else to eat, so they would eat this. So what can you do to make it a little bit more palatable? So we said you can go and rinse it in some hot water, but you can't soak it in hot water. Avalo shorin, Rashi says. Likewise, medichin oso b'chamim b'Shabbos, you're allowed to go and go and put it in hot water. He says, for everything, you can rinse anything in hot water with the exception of a Moliach HaYoshon. Rashi explains this is dog Moliach, a very salty fish, Shoshana Shavra, that was salted a while ago. They salted in the stomach to preserve it, so it shouldn't stink and smell and spoil. And it was preserved in salt, so now you want to eat it. It's going to be way too salty to go and eat it the way it is. So on a weekday, you would go and rinse it off. So it tells us, Chutz ben HaMoliach HaYoshon, you're not going to go rinse this off on Shabbos. We'll see in a moment why. We delete the words, V'dogim Meluchim Ketanim, the stomach, that's what it's talking about. Maybe that's just an explanation, but anyway, that's not in the Mishnah. And it says as well, the Kulyus haspinon. Kulyus is a fish known as the Shibuta fish, and they translate it as a Spanish mackerel. And Rashi says the name of a dog, shame dog. They normally eat it very salty, but they have to rinse it off because it's too salty, and they rinse it off b'chamin with hot water. And here, for these Meliach HaYoshon and this Kulyus haispagin, Aispanin, you're not allowed to go rinse them off on Shabbos. Why? The Mishnah says, Shadoh Chosun, this is rinsing it off. Zuik Mar Malachtim, they're inedible without this. So you're finishing it off. So this is not allowed. As opposed to the meat, which you just make it a little bit more palatable, that you're allowed to go and rinse in hot water, but you can't soak it in hot water. You can only soak things in hot water if they're already cooked before Shabbos. That's a quick summation of the Mishnah. Gemara still often says, Kigon Mai, what's an example of a food that you cooked beforehand in hot water, and now you're bringing hot water onto it and soaking in it? What's an example of that? Omer of Safra, they used to do this, Kigon, Tanagoto, the Rabbi Abba. In Rabbi Abba's house, we had this Tanagol, which Rashi explains, was Mavashlo of Ashoro, so Yomim Rabin Bechamim. They would cook it, and then they would go and soak it in hot water for many days, and this situation would disintegrate, and they would eat it, and it was for medicinal purposes. It had some beneficial medicinal benefit. Okay, so this is called the Tanagol to the Rabbi Abba. That's what the Mishnah is referring to. Amr Rasafa, Rasafa said, Zimnechado iklayis lotsa. One time it went to Rabbi Abba's house. Rabbi Abba lived in Eretz Yisrael. For Ochlan Mine, and he gave us some of this tarnagot to the Rabbi Abba. He was famous for this dish, and it was horrible. Below Rabbi Abba, and if it wasn't for the fact that Rabbi Abba gave me to drink this really very, very, very fancy wine, Dashkai in Chamra Batlosa Trophy, he gave me wine, 3-year-old wine, which is a very expensive wine. Is nasi, I would have thrown up. I would have been disgusted by this wine. Rashi says, Hayisi nanas, I would have been, unfortunately, had to vomit. Lahaki, machmas mius, it was so disgusting. So we mentioned that this tanagot to Rabbi Abba was a disgusting type of food. So the Gemara records that, well, Rabbi Yochanan royik mikutach the bavli. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't happy. He would spit rokeik mikuchsu the bavloi shizochro shayamoz beina. It was so disgusting. Rabbi Yochanan came from Eretz Yisrael, and this kutach habavli, which was a Babylonian dish that was made up of spoiled milk and the various like pieces of bread inside of it. So he would be disgusted by this dish, this kutach habavli, just like Rav Safra said he was disgusted by this Tanagot to Rabbi Abba. Rav Yochanan said, I was disgusted by this Kutach HaBavli. Or Rav Yosef said, the Leiro Kanan, mi Tanagot to Rabbi Abba. We don't go and spit every time we hear the Tanagot to the Rabbi Abba, so why are you going spitting? What are you doing this for? Furthermore, why are you making fun of us? Furthermore, he said, Amr Rav Gaza, you think that this Kutach HaBavli is so bad, maybe you don't like it, Rav Yochanan, but Rav Gaza once went up to Eretz Yisrael. Zim Nochado Iklais Lahosam. Rav Gaza went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And I made for myself this kutach habavli, and I gave it to some of the other people around it, and everybody loved it. Everybody in Eretz Yisrael who was sick wanted some of this because it was very helpful. It made them all better. So how can you say, Rabbi Yochanan, that it's so bad? Okay. In any event, the Mishnah continues. We quote the Mishnah. We said that if it wasn't cooked beforehand, then you're only allowed to rinse it off, with the exception, we said, of this year-old fish, this very salty fish, and this Spanish mackerel, the Kulyus hoispanin. Gemara says, Hediach mai. What happens if somebody went and did this to the Spanish mackerel, to this Kulyus hoispanin, or to this Moliach Yoshon? See, it was over something. What's he over? The Raisa, the Rabban. Amar Rav Yosef, Hediach haichatas. This is real is the Raisa. This is real cooking according to the Torah. Amar Mabri the Ravina. Mabri the Ravina said, Avanan namitino. We learned the same thing in the Mishnah, because our Mishnah said, Chutz mi Moliach Yoshon, Kulyus hoispanin. It said, that's finishing it off. If it's finishing off, that's cooking minatora, and therefore, Shema Minah, that our Mishnah supports what Rav Yosef said. Where it says Yosef Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Rav Asi Kamed Rav Yochanan. These two young Tamidei Chachamim will see Rav Chiya Bar Abba and Rav Asi were both sitting in front of Rav Yochanan. And the Yosef Rav Yochanan will come and amnim. As we have many times in the Gemara, it tells us that the Rebbe was drifting off to sleep and the Tamidim would be talking and the Rebbe would hear what they were saying and afterward would comment on it. Similarly, Rav Chiya Bar Abba or Rav Asi. Rav Chiya Bar Abba asked Rav Asi the following several questions, which he's going to get answers for, which Rav Yochanan is subsequently going to say are incorrect. So Mipnei Ma, Ofo Shibabu Shmeinim, he asked him the first question, why are the birds in Bavel, especially Shmeinim, very fat, more so than the birds in Eretz Yisrael? So Amalei, so Rav Asi said, that's not true. Go look in Eretz Yisrael. Kalech l'midbar Aza, go to Midbar Aza, which is part of Eretz Yisrael. V'arech Shmeinim mehen, I'll show you even fatter birds there than in Bavel. So don't say your general statement that the birds in Bavel are fatter than the birds in Eretz Yisrael. The birds in Eretz Yisrael are even fatter than the birds in Bavel. Next question, Mipnei Ma'amo Adim, Shibabu Shmeichim. Rav Chiya asked, how come in Bavel they're very happy on their Moadim, not so happy in Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Asi answers, because the people in Bavel have nothing, so they look forward to the Yom Tovim all year long. They finally have something to eat, they finally have something to be happy about. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, they were more wealthy, and therefore they weren't as excited about the simple gashmiest things that they would have on the Yontim. That was the next question. Third question, why did the Tamidei Chachamim, he said, in Bavel, wear fancy clothing? Where in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have to. So he gives a very famous answer, Lefi She'enem B'nei Torah. Because he said, otherwise you wouldn't know that they were B'nei Torah. They weren't so obviously B'nei Torah. They weren't as smart as the Tamidei Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you could tell the Talmid Chacham by what he said. In Bavel, you had to tell the Talmid Chacham who he was, because by the way he dressed, because they weren't so obviously Tamidei Chacham compared to the regular people. And the final question, how come the Ovdei Chachamim have a certain stench about them, a certain spiritual stench? They're called mizuhamim, right? Machalo zuhamios, is infectious diseases. So they have a certain zuhama about them, a certain foul odor about them on a spiritual level. So how come? So Gemara says, because they eat all sorts of creepy crawling creatures that are not kosher, and that gives them this spiritual zuhama. Meanwhile, Rav Yochanan wakes up, Yatabu Rav Yochanan, and he says, Amalu, he says to these two Tamidim of his, Chiya Rabbi Rav Asi, he says, Daideki, he calls them young children, Lo kach amarti lechem, haven't I told you previously, you should only speak Torah if you're 100% sure. The Pasuk says, Amor lechochma chosiyot, you should tell the chochma that you are my sister. In other words, what does this mean? He darshes it, Imbaru lecho adavar ki achoscha, if you know Torah, and you want to say it over, and you know it as well, like you know the din, that you're not allowed to marry your sister's also to you, if you understand the Torah as clear as you understand that you're not allowed to marry your sister, you're not allowed to have relations with your sister, so then, in that situation, omreyu, then you're allowed to say it over. But, if you're not so clear, if it's not so clear to you, that this is the pshat, lo tomreyu, don't say it. And in every one of the situations where you, Rav Asi, answered, Rav Chiya Bar Abba, you were wrong. So therefore, don't say over such divrei Torah that you're not sure about. No, so they said to the Rebbe, Omulei Rebbe, no, the Limelon Mar, Ezamehen. So we asked five questions over here. So give us the five proper terutzim. So Rabbi Yochanan does. So the first question, how come the birds in Bavel are considered more Shmeinim than the birds in Eretz Yisrael? He says, Mipnei Shalom Golu. He says, because the birds in Bavel didn't go to Golu. So the birds in Eretz Yisrael went to the Golu. Shenema, where do we see this? Shanan Moav Minurav, Bishokiru El Shmarav. Moav was very, very quiet when it was young. And it sits quietly. Ubagola lo halach. It didn't go into galus. And Rashi points out the end of the pasuk is the critical part. The end of the pasuk tells us sefer dekra. The end of the pasuk says alkein amatamo bo. The taste didn't change. In other words, because they went to the galus, the birds in Eretz Yisrael went to the galus, so they're not as fat as shomei as the birds in Bavel. And who? How do we know that? How do we know that the birds and galus in Eretz Yisrael went into galus? So Gemara says the Tanya. That's a brisa. Rav Yehuda Omer, Chamishim Ushtayim Shana Lo Avar Ish Biyuda. Rashi goes through the actual calculations. This they go through the years from the time that we were exiled into Bavel, and 52 years later there were certain things happening, but it wasn't yet the end of the galus. And for those first 52 years, nobody went into Eretz Yisrael. Everything was nigla. Shenemar al harim esor b'chiva ne'ayiv gomer. This is from Yirmiyahu. It's very similar to Eicha. Some of the words in Eicha that we're going to read. Me'ov hashamayim v'behema nadadu halachu. So it says that even the birds and the behemos, they all were exiled. And he brings down behema b'gematrius chamishim v'taratin habu. The gematria of behema is 52. The two hays are 5 and 5 is 10. The mem is 40, it's 50, and beis is 2. So therefore, this is an illusion over here. Tosafot points out it's just an asmachta, because Rashi brings down the actual reason that we know that there's 52 years, so this is just a nice asmachta. In any event, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kula chazru chutz mi kuyas ha'ispanin. He says, all of the birds and animals and fish came back after the 52 years. With the one exception was this kuyas ha'ispanin, this shibuta fish. Demarav, hani madre de bavel, mahadre mayo le'ein etam. So the waters, they flow from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and they have to go upstream a little bit. Bahai, and this kuyas ha'ispanin, given the lo shari shidre, it doesn't have a very strong backbone. It can't swim upstream, lo mosik solik. It can't go from Babel up to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it didn't come back. But all the other fish came back. In any event, Rav Yochanan Dan answered the first question. He answers the second question. Why are they happier in Babel than they are in Eretz Yisrael by the Moadim? So he answers, because of Babel weren't included in the curse that we are reading in the Haftorah that we just read this past Shabbos, Parshas Chazon. It says, first part, it comes from Hosea. I will stop over here. You're having simcha from all your yomim tovim and your new moons and Shabbos. And then it says ksiv in Parshas Chazon, in the Haftorah Chazon Yishaya that we just read. So appropriate that we're darshening it now. Chodshechem u'muadechem sonu nafshi. Hoyu alay l'torach. Your chadoshim, your new moons, your Rosh Chodesh, your muadechem, your yom tovim, sonu nafshi. They make me sick. I hate them. They're a problem for me. They're a tircha for me. What does it mean they're a tircha for me? My hayu alay l'torach. What does it mean that it should be a tircha for me? So I'm going to be Elazar. Elazar says, I'm going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo dayan liyisrael shechotin lefonai. It's bad enough that you sin, but you're also causing me a tircha. El shematrich nosi leida ezer gzera kosha av yalem. You give me a hard time that I have to go and say a new harsh decree that I have to bring upon you. So I said last night, and maybe this is an allusion to COVID. The whole Haftorah of Chazon Yishaya says that Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us in our shoes. He doesn't want us there for Pesach and Shavuos. He doesn't want us there for Yom Tovim. And it's bad enough that we don't do things properly. But Kosh Baruch Hu says he maybe come up with these new illnesses like COVID-19 that I have to go and cause all this trouble, that you have to make a new illness over here because you're not listening to me. We should take the Musa from this and listen to what Kosh Baruch Hu is asking us, and then we'll have Be'ezus Hashem, the end of the Haftorah, Tzion, B'mishpat, Tipade, Utzdaka, Shavel, that will come back with, well, we're doing the right things, we're doing justice, and by doing tzedakah. Let's finish off the Gemara. Amar Yitzchak, Ein lecha kol regel v'regel shel bosa b'leshel Sipori. And he says, there never was a yontif that troops didn't come in and attack Sipori in Eretz Yisrael. Or Chanina, Ein lecha kol regel v'regel shel bosa l'tveria egmon v'komton u'bal zemora. There never was a yontif where the goyim didn't come in, various officers, all of these are various officers, and they cause us trouble in Tveria. Rabbi Yochanan gives the next teretz. How come the Talmid Chacham in Babel they dress up nicely and not in Eretz Yisrael? So he says, Lafi she'enam b'nei mekomim, because they're not living over there. So when you're living in a place, everybody gets to know you. The Amri Inshe, b'mosa shemai. When I'm in my own town, everybody knows me. I don't have to dress fancy. But when I go someplace else, they don't know me as a Talmid Chacham. Below mosa tozvai, I have to go dress up. And he brings a pasuk to support this. He says, Haboyim Yashrei Yaakov, Yotzis Uforach Yisrael. Those from Yaakov who came and took root, Yashreish. So they were Yotzis Uparach Yisrael. So Tani Rav Yosef, explains as follows. Eilu Tamidei Chacham Shebavel. These are Tamidei Chacham Shebavel. Shoshin Tzitzin Uprachim LeTorah. They make beautiful blossoms and all sorts of prachim, flowers for Torah. In other words, we see that they were big Tamidei Chachamim. So why do they have to dress up? Because they're living in a strange place. In Eretz Yisrael, that's our country, so they don't have to dress up. But when they're in Babel, they're not clear who they are, so therefore they have to dress up. Finally, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Name out of the Chacham Zuamayim. Why did the Avdei Chacham have this tumma, this spiritual tumma, this zuama inside of them?" So he answers, "Shalom to Har Sinai, because they didn't stand on Har Sinai. We did, so the zuama was removed from us." As Rabbi Yochanan says, "Shebishah, sheba nochash alchava, the original nochash akadmon, not only desired to have Adam eat from the Eitz Hadas, he did this because he wanted to remove Adam from the picture and marry Chava." And it says in the Midrash that he had relations with Chava, exactly what this means. The original Nochash was an upright creature, was like a human being, and was supposed to be a servant for man. So again, these are Midrashim, and the Gemara says that the Nochash actually had relations with Chava, and he tilba Zuma, and he imparted into her a certain type of Zuma, this ritual impurity that he put into her. And it only came out, Yisrael Shavdu Har Sinai, Pascha Zuama. So then when we stand on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed the Zuama. Avdei Kochavim, Shalom Du Har Sinai, Lo Pascha. So the Goyim who didn't go on Har Sinai, they still had this original Zuama, Lo Pascha Zuama. Amalei Rav Acha, Bredi Rav, Lo Rav Ashi. He says, wait a second, Gerim I. So what about the Gerim? So they weren't on Har Sinai. So Amalei says, yes, they were. Afogad the inulo habu, mazalayu habu. Even though they made themselves, they had not have been there, just like our children weren't there, but the mazal was there, mazalayu hayu. So their mazal was there, their siv. Es asher yesh no po imonu omen hayom, lefnei asher alkeinu, es asher einenu po imonu hayom, v'gomer. So therefore, this is referring to the people that would eventually become gerim, would eventually come into the fold, so they were there in some sort of a sense, and the Zuama was removed from them. Finally, this disagrees with another opinion. This disagrees with the opinion of Rabbi Bar Kana. What did he say? For three generations, the Zuama didn't leave us. Which three generations? Avram lit his small, Yitzchak lit his Esav, Yaakov lit his name, Asar Shvatim. Oh, finally then, no bad children, Shlo Yobem Shum Dofi. That's when the Zuama left us. But until then, the Zuama was present, but it left us much earlier. We didn't have to wait till Har Sinai, according to the opinion of Rabbi Abba Bar Kana. Now we've made up the time for Tisha B'Av. Yitz Hashem, this year Tisha B'Av should be still a Yontif, and we'll have another chance to chazer over all these dapim of the Dap Yomi. With that, we conclude today's shir.